My brother Ron. The good do die young, and pricks do live forever. If it weren't for my brother Ron, you'd never have heard a word of this audiobook. I would never have been a comic. I would never have spent the amount of time I did working in the theater. He was a prince among men. He was an old soul who knew the worth of this life. He was a noble soul, which means he appreciated the nobility of all around him. He was the essence of intelligence and humility, two traits that rarely appear simultaneously. He was my best friend, and the fact that he isn't here to read this pains me more than anyone will ever know. This is his book. He didn't write it. He allowed me to live it. He supported me financially and emotionally. He was the best, and anyone who ever knew him knows that. His smile spoke more than any words could express. His love for me made this all possible. I am lucky we shared the same womb. He was my younger brother, so as we grew up, I was constantly beating up on him. Case in point, I was 6, Ron was 3, and we somehow had been given a gun with rubber darts. I had Ron stand against the wall, and I shot the darts around him. I then had him shoot at me. He hit me, so I beat him up. It was like that for a long time. Ron became president of the student body in the 11th grade, and my friends and I helped him with his campaign. He won again as a senior. He was a leader, something I could never achieve. One of his major accomplishments was a smoking lounge for students. He died, we think, of lung cancer, and that's the definition of ironic. One night at our favorite New York hangout, the West Bank Cafe, we found ourselves arguing over the presidential candidacy of H. Ross Perot. My brother had decided to support this idiot, and I was incensed as much by his choice as by the fact that our political fortunes had sunk so low. We had a huge screaming argument fueled by too much wine, and we hurled invectives back and forth about the State of the Union. We were, as always, enjoying every minute of it, much more so than the rest of the restaurant, which we had brought to a complete and utter silence, and of which we took no notice. I ended the argument by screaming at the top of my lungs, "Okay, you do that. You vote for H. fucking Ross Perot. And you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tell Mom!" I was with my brother the night he died. We had a long chat, but in retrospect, I should have said so much more. I returned home, and just as I got in the door, there was a call from his wife, Susan. He had taken a turn for the worse, and it didn't look good, so I returned immediately. By the time I got there, he had ceased to exist. My sister-in-law said the doctors thought that we should try mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, so I did. I tried to breathe life back into him, but it was useless. While I was doing so, it occurred to me that if I brought him back, he would no doubt be pissed and would start a long argument over how I could never leave well enough alone. The strangest thing is, I felt his presence in the room the whole time I was there, like he had not left. And he never really has. We were intensely close and extremely different. Ron understood that differences between people were something to heal. I thought they were something to make fun of. He knew that life was something to be enjoyed, and I thought it was something to be understood. He was right. He was always right.